Last month, the Federal Communications Commission unveiled its plan to bring high-speed internet access to everyone in the U.S. And by high-speed, the FCC means downloads at 100 megabits per second compared to the average 3 to 4 megabits per second many of us get now. The plan would also expand access to rural areas and open up new wireless bandwidth so you could use your smartphone as easily in Yellowstone as you can in Manhattan. And it would put the United States on a par with countries like Germany, Canada, and the Netherlands. FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski joins us in a few moments to tell us what this all means. And we want to hear from you. What would broadband access mean for you and your community? Our number in Washington is 800-989-8255. Email us at talk@npr.org or join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski joins us now by phone. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Rebecca.
Let's start with the big question. Why does every American need broadband?
Well, it's like asking why would everyone need electricity in the 20th century. It is the platform that we're all increasingly relying on and that we'll rely on more in the future for finding a job, for starting a small business, for communicating with our families, for getting healthcare information, education. It's our core communications infrastructure. It's the information grid will be for the 21st century what the electric grid was for the 20th.
And is the U.S. significantly behind other developed countries?
We are lagging. We're anywhere from 10th to 17th, depending on what study you look at, but no one says we're on the medal podium. It's a real problem, especially in this era of global competitiveness. Other countries are not standing still. Just last week, there was an article in the New York Times about the first chief technology from an American company moving to China and working out of China. And he did it because of the infrastructure they're developing and the opportunities for innovation there. We need to make sure that our infrastructure here is world-leading infrastructure for the 21st century.
And so this broadband plan, it's high-speed internet access. What else is involved?
Well, it's high-speed internet access through wires and, as you said before, wirelessly. One of the things we found when we put together this plan is that both for global competitiveness and our innovation goals and also for just the way we want to use broadband, we need to have a world-leading wired infrastructure. But when we're connecting with our smartphones or our iPads or our netbooks plugged into an air card, we want to have fast, reliable internet access there too.
And does that mean other people have to give up some spectrum?
Spectrum is this incredible, precious resource. There may be no other greater platform for innovation in the 21st century than mobile broadband. And so this is a big challenge. There are no easy pickings on the spectrum chart, we need to identify spectrum that can make sure that we don't run out of the oxygen for our mobile broadband networks.
So is that a yes? Someone has to give some up?
Yeah, someone's going to have to give some up.
Let's take a call from Alan in Evergreen, Colorado. Alan, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi there. How are you today? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This is something I've been involved in since many, many years. First T1s, first high-speed access. And currently, I work for a little company. Actually, it's just a two-man company up here in Evergreen, and we provide DSL high-speed access, quote-unquote, at speeds ranging from 768K up to 1.5 megabits for the area we live. I live about 20 miles west of Denver up in the mountains. We have looked at doing high-speed internet access many ways, and I don't think that within my lifetime it will be possible for you to give 100 megabit service to everybody in the state of Colorado. The density's too low. When you put up a tower 200 feet, you have lightning problems. You can't see anybody on the downslope side of the tower. And I'd like to know what the FCC is looking at to solve this problem. The only way I can see to solve the problem is to orbit an airplane at 50,000 feet and provide everybody direct access to the airplane.
Well, first of all, I admire what you're doing. And I think, you know, getting broadband to less dense population areas, to rural areas, is very important. And I know the challenges you face in rolling out broadband where you are. I tend to be an optimist on the power of technology to exceed what people think is possible. There are certainly challenges now. The goal, by the way, that we set for 100 megabits was affordable 100 megabits to 100 million households. And the reason for that goal is to make sure that the U.S. is the largest market for super high-speed broadband in the world. But as you point out, getting high-speed broadband to rural America is hard for reasons that you live with every day. The economics are challenging when you have to operate in population areas that are less dense.
And, you know, you can't dig through the granite, you know, without spending huge amounts of money. Take a look at Qwest, who is our local carrier up here, who we work with as a partner in some cases. They just spent a huge amount of money, you know, increasing the speeds down in Denver. You know, they're doing fiber to the node and all that kind of stuff and giving people 20 megabits. And they haven't spent anything dealing with the rural areas. We have a town, 50 miles outside of Denver called Bailey, Colorado. They sit in the hole, and therefore they can't get any wireless service. There are no facilities going out there to give them DSL. And I don't see any way you can possibly get 100 megabit service to anybody like that.
Well, one of the, you know, some of the challenges that you point to are why one of the main points of the plan is to reform a fund, the Universal Service Fund, that has done a good job over the years getting telephone service to everyone in the country, that we want to now transform so that it does the same thing for broadband in the years ahead. No question that it's a real challenge. You'll see in the plan a number of other ideas, and you know, as you know, because you do this every day, there's no silver bullet. One of the ideas that's endorsed in the plan is an idea called dig once. If roads are being dug up for highways or another construction project, why don't we lay the fiber that we need for high-speed broadband at the same time? What can we do? And listen, the door is open for suggestions. You're out there in the field doing this. What are the things that we can do that will lower the cost of investment and make it more economic to provide higher speeds further out in the country?
And whose cost of investment is it? Who would pay for it?
Well, we need, listen, in this country, we need to rely on private companies to build out networks. In some cases, we're also seeing activity on the part of local and municipal governments. What the Universal Service Fund has done over the years is supplement private carriers who have to deal with the kinds of economic challenges that the caller just mentioned, which is that the economics of, you know, rolling out a wired infrastructure in rural America are very different from in urban America. We tackled this problem with electricity. We tackled it with telephone service. Now we have to tackle it with broadband.
Let's hear from Ronald in Oxford, Ohio. Ronald, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I live in a rural area, and I'm unable to get high-speed internet access, and I'm currently a college student at Miami University. Right now, I have to go to the library and do all of my homework because I don't have access at my house.
Well, you know, I assume it's harder for you to do what you need to do with school, not having broadband at home.
Absolutely. It's virtually impossible for me to get any of my homework done without the internet. It's a great tool.
This is exactly why we need to tackle this problem. And whether it's college students who have a harder time doing their work because they don't have broadband access at home, or elementary school students. I talk to teachers in elementary schools around the country who say, hey, half my kids have broadband access at home, half don't. What am I supposed to do? If I give out the kind of homework assignments and research papers that I want that will get students online, doing online research, developing digital skills for the 21st century, I'm disadvantaging the kids who don't have broadband at home. What are they supposed to do? And if I don't give out those assignments, I'm leaving behind the kids who do have broadband access. Same thing for you. You're at a disadvantage compared to other students, and we need to find a way to make broadband as ubiquitous as electricity. I bet you have electricity where you are.
Let's hear from Mikey in Detroit. Mikey, welcome to Talk the Nation.
Hey there. there. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. My question is, now, would this give the FCC the right, or now do they intend on possibly regulating the Internet like they do the radio and TV airwaves? And I'll take my comments off the air. Thanks.
Sure. Well, first of all, the answer is we don't want to regulate the Internet. The Internet has been this extraordinary success because of its open architecture, because it's unfettered, because no central authority, whether the government or whether an Internet service provider, can interfere with the ability of an entrepreneur or a speaker to reach an audience. So not at all. We do need to tackle this as an infrastructure challenge and make sure that we get the Internet infrastructure, high-speed Internet infrastructure everywhere. I do want to say one other thing, both to this caller and the last caller. Broadband.gov is a place where you can go to get more information, but also you'll find applications there that allow you to measure your own speed if you have broadband access and to report dead zones on mobile broadband, for example, and if we're not yet collecting information on that site about rural parts of the country that don't have access, we'll do that too.
Now, when you talk about, you know, this is obviously not something that's going to happen overnight, and as you work out the plan and the statutory language and the funding and the technology, these things all change so fast. The technology has already changed so much. Do you run the risk of having obsolete language or regulations that don't make sense or things that you're sort of stuck with that end up ultimately not being current with what is the reality of the technology?
Sure, but you know, I think that that's an issue that we have to keep in mind as we're moving forward, but it can't prevent us from moving forward. You know, we do, it is a global competitiveness issue. Other countries are moving forward. We need to have an infrastructure in the U.S. that is world-leading. And I'm really not worried about whether it's possible to drive forward a high-speed broadband infrastructure and to do it in a way that unleashes rather than bottles up the extraordinary innovative potential that we have in the United States.
And in general, what sort of time frame are we talking about?
Well, listen, we need to make progress on this you know, year in, year out for a long time. It's not going to stop. There's a way in which broadband is different from universality challenges that we faced as a country in the past. With electricity and with telephone service, these were binary technologies in the sense that you either had a telephone, you either had a dial tone or you didn't. You either had electricity or you didn't. And broadband, it's as important a platform for our economy and our democracy as those were, but it's not binary. You can have different speeds, and hopefully the speeds will just keep going up and up and up, and it's hard to predict exactly what the optimal speed will be for consumers in 2, 5, 10 years.
Have to leave it there. Julius Genachowski, chairman of the FCC, joined us from on the phone from his office. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And you can read more about the plan. There's a link at our website, npr.org. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.